All right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Doing It Live, episode 3. I'm Timeasis.
And I'm Batsnacks.
And we're on our third episode. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be an excellent third episode.
Super excited about this episode. What is going on with you today, or this week in general?
So this week I went to a Magic draft. It's the first time I've played Magic in 10 years, and things have changed a whole lot.
Things have changed a whole lot in Magic. Have you learned about Planeswalkers and all that stuff?
Is
that
I saw one. I don't understand how they work.
And they put like little rocks on them, like little counters on them.
They use the dice when I was there.
I keep going. Oh, the dice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started playing Magic in like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when they showed me Planeswalkers, I had no idea what the hell was going on. It's changed a whole lot since we played.
Yeah, it has. I went through the draft with the idea that, okay, I guess green creatures must still be good. They were good 10 years ago. Why wouldn't they be good now?
They're still good, right?
I took all the green creatures and some healing spells, and I got eliminated in the first round
You haven't played Magic in 10 years, not because you drafted.
I mean, I understand how things work. It's just there's mechanics called Madness now, and I didn't...
Madness was always a thing.
I forgot about it.
Madness is that the one where you like discard?
Discard a card, and as you're discarding it, you can play
that's
it.
That's always been a mechanic. Maybe it was an old mechanic that they recently brought back.
Yeah,
because they do that sometimes.
Yeah, it caught me by surprise, and that's what I lost.
Yeah, see, when I say I started playing Magic again 6 years ago, it means I started playing Magic 6 years ago for like 2 years, and then I stopped again.
Yeah, and
but that's
I think
usually how
probably
it goes.
Before 6 years ago, the last time you played was what, like 10 years before that?
Let's see. So I go through a lot of phases of playing Magic. I don't know why. So I started playing Magic when I was like, I don't know, like 10 years old or something
that. It was middle school-ish area?
Well, it was a little before I met you.
Okay.
I started playing Magic, like, I bought, like, some of the, like, intro ones. I remember do you remember Portal? It was, like, the noob starter set for Magic. It was called Portal.
I don't remember Portal.
Anyway, so you bought this set for, like, $50, and it came with a bunch of cards, and you can, like, play two-player Magic with, like, a friend or whatever. And so, like, I got into it then, and I tried to play with my brother a lot. But he was, like, 2 years younger than me, so he had no idea what the hell was going on, right? Because I was, like, 10, and he was, like, 8, so he was like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it probably wasn't very interesting
so
for him.
I played, quote-unquote, Magic for, like, I don't know, 6 months, and I, like, it was fun, but I didn't really understand what was going on. You know, fast forward, you know, 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years, I'm in middle school. I think you and I somehow get into it. I'm not really sure how.
I'm pretty sure you introduced the game to me, and...
Probably because I had the leftover cards from the old starter stuff.
I think maybe, like, the electricity was out, so we weren't able to play the Nintendo 64 at the time, and...
So we're like, let's play Magic the Gathering instead.
And I was like, okay, we'll play this dumb card game, and we got really into it.
And we got really into Magic.
We drove. Our parents drove us to a tournament.
Did we drive then? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did. We went to a regional tournament in Orlando.
In Orlando. Yeah. I remember that. How old were we? Were we like 14 or something?
I don't remember the age, but
it
happened.
Must have been like 14 or 15, something like that.
We lost really bad.
I remember, though, I beat this like little kid really well.
Oh, good job.
Yeah, and then his like dad was there, and he like congratulated me. For beating his son that was like 8.
Thank you for that. Now I don't have to buy him these cards anymore.
I felt real good after that. It's like, great. I beat a little kid. Woohoo.
Yeah, so this week I lost to a guy that was in the Navy. I guess he just spends a lot of time on a ship without internet or electricity, and that's what they do.
A lot of Army, Navy, etc. play Magic the Gathering. Like,
yeah, that's
lot.
What he was saying. I guess when they're offshore,
they're bored. They don't really have internet.
You can read and you can play Magic, and
because I remember, so back to my Magic story. Like, we played a lot when we were 13, 14, 15.
Yeah,
and then I think you stopped playing at some point.
Yeah,
and then I stopped playing too. But then my brother got into it when he turned like 13 or 14.
Okay.
Because he played Yu-Gi-Oh for a while. You remember that stupid card game?
Oh, I remember Yu-Gi-Oh.
And then he moved, like, one of his friends that played Yu-Gi-Oh was like, oh, Magic's really cool. And he got him into Magic. And so, like, my brother drew me back into Magic, and so I played Magic, you know, 17, 18, mm-hmm. 19 kind of thing again, like, those couple years, right?
Yeah.
So that's when I got, like, really good at Magic. Like, I got, you know, solid at it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had some really good decks. I think you were still into it a little, but I don't think... I think you were... It's an expensive hobby, you know?
It very.
And then I went to college, and I stopped playing Magic. I mean, I played occasionally in college, but, like, not, like, you know, hardcore or anything.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to South Florida for my first job, one of my friends was big into Magic. So he, like, got me back in. Again, and then I played for 2 years, and then I stopped because it's really expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And now here I am, and that was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, and I haven't started playing Magic again, but, you know.
You should start.
History shows that every 3 to 4 years I will start playing Magic again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to go back for Friday Night Magic. I had fun, even though I was eliminated immediately and didn't understand anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. We played at, like, I think the Golden Age.
Yeah.
Magic, though. Like, when we were, like, 14 years old was when, like, Mirrodin came out.
Yes.
And that was a fantastic, fantastic set. I just loved that. It was so broken, but it was, like, so much fun.
Yeah, all that artifact affinity stuff.
Such a good set. Mm-hmm. And I remember we would, like, try to build our own decks and be like, oh, these are really cool. And then we'd just give up and, like, Google one online.
Yeah.
You know, and put that one together or whatever. Because that's what everyone does in, like, high-level Magic tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just get, you know...
They copy other people and maybe make small innovations of their own.
Yeah. They just, yeah, like, really small ones. Like, I remember when we, I think when we went to the Orlando, well... Yeah, I think when we went to the Orlando one, I had, like a deck that I basically got from the internet but made, like, a bunch of modifications that was just that was worse than the original one.
Yes.
But it was, like, my version of it, so, like, I needed to play with that one, you know?
Also, I think I remember the actual original, like, tournament quality deck being extremely expensive, and we could not afford those cards,
yes,
so we kind of had to make do with...
Yes, because... And when Mirrodin came out, this is going to sound really great for our listeners. We're nerding out on old Magic cards. When Mirrodin came out, they had, like, a bunch of broken cards.
Yeah, one in particular.
And there was two in particular. There's Arcbound Ravager, and there was Skullclamp.
Yeah.
I can't believe I remember this.
I remember. No, I remember them.
Anyway, Arcbound Ravager was like it cost 2 mana, and you could sacrifice artifacts to it and beef it up. And then once it died, you could just distribute its, like, its counters, which were what gave it, like, extra power to, like, any other creatures you wanted. So when it died, you just gave its power to something else.
Yeah.
And then this other card, Skullclamp, you can attach to a creature, and if that creature died, you drew a card.
Yeah.
Which you could attach to these little creatures that could distribute their power when they died. So you just attach it to a creature, kill it off, and then throw the counter on the Arcbound Ravager. And it was super broken. And Skullclamp was it wasn't even a rare card, it was like an uncommon, but it was still like $10 per card. And I think the Ravager was like $20-$30 per card.
Yeah.
So I think what I ended up doing is I ended up buying 2 Ravagers, but I couldn't afford a whole set of 4. So I like came up with other, you know, other strategies. Yeah, exactly. So I built like this hybrid deck that worked pretty well, but it wasn't the perfect thing, you know. Because when you're, you know, when you're 14 or 15 year old, like $100 is a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, much less 300, which is...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, like, my savings. Like, I spent my savings on, like, this Magic deck, essentially.
Yeah.
But, anyway. Good times, Magic.
Very good times.
Yeah, when I got back into it, when I was in my 20s, like, early 20s, like, it was complete... Like, it had changed, like, so much in, like, 4 years. Like, I went, you know, like, 4 years from not playing it to playing it again, and it had changed, like, a lot, because they introduced Planeswalkers, and it was like, what is all this stuff? And it really changes the game.
Yeah, they have flip cards now. There's, like, a card on each side, and it flips when things happen.
Oh, yeah,
I learned about those.
They have a lot of wacky shit now in Magic.
It's fun, though. I enjoyed my time.
No, I like Magic a lot.
It was $12 well spent for 3 hours.
I like Magic a lot. I'll go so far as to say I think... Magic the Gathering, like the core game, is probably the best designed game.
Wow.
Yeah. It, period. I know that's a big ass thing to say.
Yeah, that's like,
if we're talking about just the, I'm not talking about all the expansions. I'm talking about the basic core game of, you know, the mana and the cost of the creatures and
tapping.
Spells and all that stuff. The basic core game, I think that is just so well designed.
I agree.
Because if you think about it, no other game could stand the test of time that Magic has unless it's super well well designed at the beginning. Like the way that they made the, especially the way that creatures cost and spells cost.
Yeah,
like their cost and resource system is amazingly robust.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Mhm.
Like other games you can't extend games that much because like you can't change the cost of resources enough to like, you know, other games, like if you have an overpowered card, then it's just overpowered and there's nothing you can do to like
balance it.
But in Magic it's like, yeah, this card's overpowered, but it's really freaking expensive mana-wise, you know? So, I don't know. You just balance it so well, and it lends itself to expansion like no other game. Like, they could make Magic cards forever, you know? And it could still live within the core rules, which is, like, an insane thing to think about. Like, any other game doing that, you would run out of ideas. You would run out of, like, balanceable ideas in, like,
a Yeah, game. You can only take mechanics in other games so far, but you reach all the possibilities.
Right, and before you reach a game that's completely broken and imbalanced.
Mm.
And that's not saying that Magic hasn't done some broken stuff. Like, it definitely
has. It has a long history of
that. Yeah, but at the same time, like, you have to hand it to them for, like, they do broken stuff, and then they fix it, and then the game is, like, fine again. Like, people wouldn't keep playing it if it was always broken, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just like you got to hand it to them for that. That's crazy. So
yeah. Anyway. So that was a really interesting part about my week.
Yeah, I should get back to Magic again.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. We can talk about Magic again.
And talk about strats.
I haven't played in a couple years, so I don't know all the new mechanics.
Neither do I. So
we learn together.
Yeah.
But once you, I mean, Magic's like riding a bike, you know. Like once you know how to play, it's just
a
matter of learning the new.
Yeah, once you read all the cards in a given set, you can figure it out.
Yeah, like once you just know the new rules, like they just add a couple rules every so often, and once you know those, you can play it again, no problem. I love Magic though; it's such a good game.
Me too.
Wow, that's fun. So that was a draft then?
Yeah, I just played in a draft.
What's
eliminated
like one of the,
first round.
Was it the new set or whatever?
Yeah, it was Moons of Eldritch or something.
Moons over
Miami.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love that. They should start naming these Magic sets after like
after
Denny's menu items. The like Denver Scramble or whatever.
Yeah, Lumberjack Slam.
That's a good name for a Magic set.
I'd buy that Magic set.
That sounds like a card.
That's an
the
instant.
Lumberjack Slam.
That's a
it's
red
an instant.
Instant.
Red, no, it's a red and green instant.
Oh, okay.
It's dual
yes.
colored. It costs one red and one green. And the art is like a big lumberjack.
And he's eating
like,
a pancake and a sausage.
And he
he's
has.
Like slamming the table or something.
Well, I was thinking he had like an axe, you know. But
that would probably be cooler.
Yeah. But, like, it deals, like, 3 damage to all creatures or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is a... I like this card a lot.
I like it, but I have a feeling Lumberjack Slam is copyrighted or trademarked or something
it
like
deals
that.
4 damage to every creature, all the opponent's creatures, but then it deals 1 damage to you.
There that seems really broken.
That's it.
But that's it. It's the Lumberjack Slam.
But, I mean, it's not that broken. It costs a red and a green, you know.
To
this
deal
is what I'm talking.
4 damage
yeah,
to
but
all their creatures?
It's both colors, though. It's red and green. Okay, it deals 3 damage to all creatures and 1 damage to you.
Does it deal damage to your creatures, too?
No, just their creatures.
That's so broken.
But it's 1 red and 1 green. That's like, and it's like, it's hard to get both of those colors out so early.
I think most people use 2 colors.
Alright, 2 damage to all creatures. All your opponent's creatures and 1 damage to you.
2 damage to yourself, too, maybe.
3 damage to all creatures and 3 damage to you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm actually not a Magic balance authority. I don't know what's balanced these days.
But see, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is how good Magic is designed, because you can make cards like that balanced.
Yeah.
You know? Because you can use the mana, and you can use other things like dealing damage to you or, like, doing other things. And you can balance so cards so well in that game. Like, you can finagle all the gears, if that's, like, a phrase. That's not, but I just made it up. You can finagle all the gears.
There could be a card that anytime someone plays a Lumberjack card, your creatures gain protection for the turn.
So that this is like a new... Like,
yeah, it's a whole new mechanic. There's a new Lumberjack
mechanic?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, there, it's like the new, like, creature type.
Yeah, it's Lumberjacks.
Mm-hmm. It's like Lumberjack. So it's like creature, human, Lumberjack. And he's like... They're all lumber, like it's like elves, kind of, right?
Except
like,
lumberjacks.
Yeah, but it's like elves.
Yes, or like, you know, wolves or.
Well, and not really like elves, because like an elf could be a lumberjack too. It could be like, you know, creature elf lumberjack. Lumberjack is like a subtype, you know.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, human knight warrior, whereas warriors they're like subtypes.
Yes.
Like lumberjack is that. Yeah. That's good. That's really good. And that way, like, different, like, colors can be lumberjacks, too.
Yes.
You could have a red lumberjack and a green lumberjack. Obviously, most
you
lumberjacks
have an
probably
undead lumberjack.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, shit.
I feel like most lumberjacks are gonna, like, be green, though. Or maybe they have, like, some green, you know, like, they
there's
use
green, like,
color
in the cost somewhere.
Yeah, there's green in the cost, or, like...
Because they live in the forest, so you should have a forest to play.
So
them.
Like the undead lumberjack would be like a it would be like green, black, and like two colorless to do the undead lumberjack. And be like a 2/2 creature with what's the mechanic that revives you? I forget. Regeneration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He like comes from the swamp.
Yeah, undead.
He's a swamp lumberjack.
Yeah. It costs 2 green, black, and he's a 2/2 with regeneration. That can regenerate for 1 green or something.
I like it.
This is a good set right here. Like, I think we're building a new Magic set right now.
Yeah.
And it's like the Lumberjack set.
They're definitely going to take this idea off of this podcast.
I know, and they're like, we're going to hear in like 3 months, Wizards of the Coast will be like, announcing our new set. And it's like, Lumberjacks. Well, it wouldn't be all lumberjacks, right?
Our new set, lumberjacks.
I think that's a lot for one set. Like that's too much lumberjacks.
War of the lumberjacks.
I feel like lumberjacks would be like just a component of a set.
Yeah.
Like not like the whole set is like around lumberjacks. It could be like a very forest focused set. Not like green. I'm talking about like just like. The theme is like
maybe it could be like nature. Man versus machine, like
oh,
goblins.
Like
there could be like goblin machinists versus
yeah.
The...
And you could have what's that guy that like fights the machine in that like
there's like
story?
Are, do you mean the folk
about?
Tale?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh,
his
what
name.
Is that guy's name? Okay, hold on. We need to figure. You know what I'm talking about?
I
though?
Know who you're talking about. He uses it's the like, two hammers and he beats the machine through the mountain.
Yes, and then he like dies or something.
It's like.
It's like something Bunyan.
I don't know who that is, though.
No, it's not Paul Bunyan. No, it's not Paul Bunyan. It's like,
There's a song about him, too.
John Henry!
Yeah.
Yes, John Henry. Yeah, that's him.
I'm not sure if that's him, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, no, it's John Henry. He's the guy that worked on a railroad, and then they made, like, a steel-powered hammer that was, like a robotic thing.
Yeah.
And then he, like, raced against it. Yeah. So he's like, the legendary character.
Yes.
Of this set.
He's the rare.
Yeah. He's, like, the super legendary.
Yeah.
He's not a lumberjack, though. He's, like, just, like, a working man.
Just a working man trying to get by.
That's his, like, character. That's his creature type.
That's his flavor.
Working man. Oh, just his working man on the bottom. And then it's like working, but no G. It's just like a
well apostrophe.
Know, apostrophe. Yeah. Working man. And he's like, I don't know what color he'd be. Probably green because that represents humanity.
He might be plains because I think he lived in the desert or something in Arizona.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't know. I would have to look all this stuff up. This is all stuff that we would have to research.
Yes.
He'd be like green, white colors. 3 colorless green white. He'd be like a 4/4 creature with that could like oh you could like
you can
sacrifice
him
to like destroy an artifact creature.
Yeah, because didn't he die in that folktale?
Yeah, he did.
He died of like a heart attack when
he
was
like
done
won
or something.
The race.
But he won.
But you could sacrifice him to destroy an artifact creature.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is a good magic set. It's like nature versus machines.
Yes.
So it's like artifact stuff, like artifact creatures and stuff, versus like humanity and like elves and all that other shit.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like banding together to fight.
And the lumberjacks are the warriors.
The lumberjacks are the warriors, and then they have like working men that are like just, you know, working hard to like have their, you know, not let the machines steal their work and stuff.
I'm starting to see some parallels to reality,
to
maybe.
Real life.
Am I seeing, is that what I'm seeing?
No, it's not social commentary at all, even though it probably is. This is a good idea. Like, this is a good set. I feel like I could hit up Wizards of the Coast right now and be like, this
just
is
send
your
them
new,
an email.
This is your new thing. It's called like War of the Machines or something like that.
We should do that and report back with our results.
We should send an email and and the next episode we can talk about how much we were rejected.
Yes.
By Wizards of the Coast. Or how that did not work
ignored.
this is a good idea though. Okay, well, Magic the Gathering. See, we just have super good ideas for pretty much everything.
Everything.
If you have a good idea, if you have something that needs refreshing, you know, something getting stale, you know, we can fix it. We can make it better.
We'll tune it up for you.
Tune it up. Put it in John Henry and Paul Bunyan and the Lumberjacks and whatever. And all that stuff.
So, what have you been up to lately?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I've been up to some things. I watched John Wick per your request.
Did you like it?
I did like it. The premise is very silly in that movie.
Yes.
In like a good way though. It's not like bad. It's just very silly.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be kind of just like an urban legend kind of thing. Like he's the boogeyman, he's John
Wick.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got that. The action scenes are really good.
Yeah, the action makes it.
I liked a surprising part I liked about the movie. Although the story was, you know, silly.
Yes.
They did a good job of, like, the, I don't know, mythology of the...
Of
I don't know
him.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
of him
does.
And of, like, the underworld of, you know, crime or whatever. I don't
yeah,
know
there's, like, the cleaner guy and there's
yeah,
the hotel.
Yeah, there's, like, the little coins they use.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's just a fun kind of world-building thing that, like, didn't really, like, you know, wasn't, like, the focus of the movie. But, like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, those were some of my favorite parts of the movie.
Because it gave more to, like, the world. It's like, oh, there's, like, this whole underground ring of assassins and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a code and all that stuff. You know,
secret hotel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The cleaner guy and
those guys were so cool.
Coins and the hotel where all the assassins meet, but they're, like, not allowed to kill anyone there. You know what I mean? Like, that was all cool. I like the mythology.
Yeah, you'll have to say his name for me because I'll butcher it. But John
Leguizamo.
Leguizamo. He had a brief role, but it was one of my favorite roles in the movie. He was so cool.
He was good.
I love when he punches the guy and he calls his father.
Yeah, he was like the car
VIN number swapper or something.
Mm-hmm. John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
Didn't we talk about John Leguizamo recently?
He's one of my favorite actors. We probably did.
But you, like, I remember you didn't know how to say his name.
I still don't know how to say his name.
That's fine. Do it again. Try it again.
Leguizamo.
Wow, I think you did it right that time.
Yeah, see, before I was saying Leguizamo, which is probably is not correct.
You know what would be funny? If we, like, looked on the internet and it's actually Leguizamo and Leguizamo is completely off.
I have a feeling it was me that's wrong. I'm notoriously bad at pronunciation.
I bet you we're both wrong. We're just wrong to different degrees. Like, maybe I'm a little more right, but, you know, not completely. You know what I mean? Like, I'm less wrong, but still.
I was.
But still wrong, you know?
Yes.
Probably. I mean, that's honestly probably what is going on with that. So yeah, I saw John Wick. And that's. I mean, I haven't done a lot this week. I've been bored this week. I've been having nothing to do this week. There's nothing interesting going on in the world. No, there's stuff.
You got to start
Olympics
playing Magic.
On. Have you been watching the Olympics?
No.
Okay. Well,
I don't have cable, and
it's the Olympics. It's exactly what you'd expect. There's athletes and they run around and
they
earn medals
Any
and stand on podiums.
Anything funny happen in the Olympics?
I mean, it's in Brazil.
I mean, other than that, I know about that. But.
I mean, that writes its own joke, right?
Yes. Really.
I'm sorry for all the people that live in Brazil that are listening to this right now, but. I mean, it's kind of a mess, but I mean, it's fine. You know, it's working. Their pools are really like weirdly colored because they like screwed up the chlorination or something. So, yeah, we won a lot of medals because we're the best nation in the world.
That's good.
You can quote me on that. America.
I agree with you.
Home of the free.
Freedom of the brave.
Home of the brave. Freedom of the press.
Men.
Home of Bruce Willis.
Home of Bruce Willis and
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Recently Jackie Chan.
Oh, right. He's an assistant now. See, we can say that we have Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Even though I think he's a dual citizen.
But he's still an American.
Yeah, I mean...
He lives here.
He's Chinese, too.
Yes.
I'm sure he identifies way more with China than he does with America.
I don't know. But, yeah, I like Jackie Chan a whole lot.
We've talked about Jackie Chan before.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people.
He's a hero.
He is.
He's a national treasure.
He's my hero.
I mean, he's a national treasure probably to China more.
Obviously, yeah.
He's a national treasure here, too.
Yes.
Damn it. So, the Olympics, and it's just, I mean, it's just the Olympics. If you haven't seen it, like, there's no reason to talk about it. Like, you know, it's just like, oh, people are doing things well. Olympics. I think they're over now. Or maybe they have another day. I think they're over now. I think they ended, like, yesterday.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's good. I didn't hear any, like, horrible news stories about catastrophes or anything, so that's good.
No, maybe they have one more. I don't know. I don't know how many days they have left. They have, like, there's not very many left. It's almost over, I think. Oh, well, maybe not. Maybe there's more. Okay, never mind. There's, like, more.
It sounds really exciting.
Oh, it ends this Sunday. Okay, so one more weekend, basically.
Got it. Well, maybe I'll go watch the closing ceremony somewhere or something.
I mean, no, you don't.
I probably won't.
Just watch on the internet. There's no. It's not. It's. I'm sure we're aggravating everyone that watched the Olympics.
I'm sorry.
This is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's just the Olympics. If you've seen one Olympics, you've seen them all.
Oh.
You like that? You see what I did there?
Yeah, I see what you did.
Oh God. Okay. Well.
Well. On that note, do you want to play a game this episode?
I love playing games, so yeah, I do.
All right, so the idea that I had for this game is we could switch it up a little. Okay. I know that we already did a list, and that it was a list about movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for one, I thought we could play a game where we make a list about games, but since we didn't come prepared with our
about
own list...
About games that are based on movies.
I'm kidding. Could we play that? Have I played at least five games?
No, do not.
Okay, all right.
That was completely a joke.
Okay, it was a good joke. Good job.
Keep going. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you.
We could play a game where we make a list together and combine our efforts to make one penultimate list of awesome that is...
Wouldn't it be ultimate list? Because penultimate means like one removed from ultimate.
I just said that because it's in a Philip K. Dick book.
Oh, yeah, Penultimate Truth. That's a good book.
Yeah.
Have you read that one?
Yes.
Have you read the... Sorry, we're going off...
No, it's
off
okay. No.
We're going off the deep end now.
I'm always isn't happy that the to
second,
talk about...
Isn't that the second book in the... There's a series.
Yeah, it's Valis, the Penultimate Truth, and the Transmigration of Timothy Arthur,
Is that all in the same series? It's not really?
It's the Valis trilogy, I think.
Is it? Is it? Is it really, though? The internet doesn't seem to think it's part of any trilogy, but I thought it was like, I read them as like a thing, like three of them together.
There is a trilogy that was one of the last books he worked on. It's Valis.
Yeah. I thought it was part of a trilogy
thing. Oh, it's Valis, The Divine Invasion.
Yeah, Divine Invasion.
And, okay, I got those confused. But yeah, I did read The Penultimate Truth, too.
What the hell is this shit?
Oh, well.
Wikipedia is not very good at telling me about this stuff.
Yeah. Wikipedia as a whole is a good thing, though. I
feel like Wikipedia... Okay, here it is. Finally, I found it. Yeah, it's the Valis trilogy.
Yeah.
Which is the Valis, The Divine Invasion. Okay, so Penultimate Truth isn't even in there. I just thought it was, for some reason.
It sounds really similar to the second book in the Valis trilogy.
Maybe. I think, like, the plot line is similar in that one. if I remember correctly.
The plot in the Divine Invasion is really crazy and kind of...
No, the Divine Invasion is like a really underrated Philip K. Dick book.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane. Doesn't like God die and he's in like the Atlantic Ocean or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, and it's supposedly yes. based on real events.
Yes, it's so batshit crazy.
Yes.
It's I never hear people talking about that one, but that one's really weird and yeah, really good.
The whole Valis trilogy is a little bonkers.
I mean, it gets really bonkers because he was like, you know, on acid and like
amongst other things,
out of his mind at that point. But I don't it was know. Really,
yeah,
it was good.
It was good.
I liked the Valis trilogy because it was so wacky.
Yeah, doodle. And because I'm pretty sure he thought he was writing about real things.
And Valis was the one where like there's a satellite. And it, like, beams down, like, yeah, it, shit or whatever.
Yeah, it beams, like, enlightenment into his head, and he goes off on a search to find the Messiah. And, like, Rush is there for some reason. And
Rush?
Yes. I mean, they don't...
Like,
the band? Yeah, they don't say it's Rush, but it's Rush.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember that part, but maybe I didn't get it.
Or maybe it's Bowie. It's either Rush or Bowie.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Philip K. Dick books, they're real good, and anyone listening to this should check them out immediately.
Transfiguration of Timothy Archer is a messed up book, too.
Yeah, that one, I don't think he finished. His wife, I think, published that posthumously for him.
No, that's the Owl in the Daylight.
Okay, alright, no, yeah, you're right.
Well, no, okay, apparently on Wikipedia, Transfiguration of Timothy Archer was published after his death, but he did finish, it looks like he finished it.
I think the finish might be kind of in quotation marks.
Yeah. The Owl in the Daylight was the book he was planning to write that was going to be the final
chapter
of the Valis trilogy. But I think people use the Transmigration of Timothy Archer as like the other, like the pseudo side part of the, I don't know if that makes any sense. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
I don't know. He got really weird at the end there.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
And then he died,
I mean,
and...
It's not like
and
he
it was really
weird.
Good.
It's not like he wasn't weird earlier.
Yeah.
It's just like he got even weirder. Yeah. I feel like that happens to every science fiction author, though. Right? Like, they start out, you know, semi-normal, and then they just get weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder. And in Philip K. Dick's case, he started out... His normal was already weird. So he, like, got just even more weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, what's his face?
Heinlein
started, you know, with, you know, pop science fiction.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, Starship Troopers and stuff. And then he got to, like, weirder stuff with Stranger in a Strange Land, which isn't that weird, but it was, like, weirder. And then by the end of his career, he had this, like, wackadoodle, like, trilogy. Well, it was more than a trilogy. It was, like, a big, you know, series of books about, like, a guy that, like... is infinite years old or whatever, and he like travels the universe and he like changes history and stuff, and it's just really really weird. And yeah, I feel like that happens to all science
fiction. I haven't read that, and I should.
It's good. It's I'm trying to remember the name of the guy. One of the books is like A Cat Who Walks Through Walls is one of them. I'm trying to remember the other one. Lazarus Long, that's the guy. That's the
that's
guy.
A cool
he's
title.
Like, no, Lazarus Long's the guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a cool
he's
name.
He's really, really old. Yeah. He's like 900 years old or something like that. And he like goes through Earth or whatever. Anyway, he wrote like a bunch of books featuring that character. And they were all really, really weird. And you know, early Heinlein was not normal, but it was like, you know, Starship Troopers isn't like a strange science fiction book. It's just a good one, you know. But then at the end of his career, he's like, let's go crazy, you know. So, I like that about science fiction, though.
Me too.
Philip K. Dick did the same thing, but he just went, like, even... Like, he went off the deep end.
Yeah.
He just went all out.
Yes.
We should have a segment on Philip K. Dick.
Every single week.
Every week we should talk about a new Philip K.
Dick. We should have a Philip K. Dick book club.
What's your favorite Philip K. Dick book? Let's talk about that.
Ubik.
Ubik?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Ubik's, I think, his best one.
I read Ubik, like, it was, like, the second one I read.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't completely appreciate his writing style yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I need to, like, go back. I remember the plot vaguely, because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there is.
Like, that's probably his most multifaceted book.
Yeah, you know, there's a whole lot going on in that book.
Like, there's, like, a new idea every, like, paragraph.
That's why I like that book so much.
No, I like it a lot, too. But, like, what I mean is, like, I read it when I was, like, 16 or 17, and it was, like, only the second book I ever read by him, so I didn't really appreciate it as much as I could. So I need to go back and read it, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
I think right now my favorite is... I don't know. It's probably a tie between Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
I love that book. Sheep. Yeah.
And have you read Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said?
Yeah, that one's real good.
I like that one a lot, too.
Yeah.
That one's more trippy than his other ones. I mean, all of them are trippy.
Those are all top five for me, definitely. Yeah. I also really like A Scanner Darkly.
I was about to say, Scanner Darkly and Flow My Tears are, like, both his, like, two, like...
Those are his most
kind of
paranoid,
trippy,
yeah,
introspective kind of books. You know what I mean? They're very existential, like... They're, like, paranoid, trippy, existential, you know. They're very character-driven.
Yeah.
Whereas other ones are more, like, high concept. I don't know if that makes sense. Another good one that is not very, like... It's not really talked about a lot is Now Wait for Last Year. Have you read that one?
No.
Okay, that one's really good. It's a time travel one, and it has a bunch... It has all the good Philip K. Dick stuff. It's like, you take drugs, and then you time travel.
Yes, I mean, because of course.
So it's like, just read. Like, I mean, what more do I have to say about it than that, right?
Wait, no, I think I did read that one. Is that the one where the main character travels to, like, South America or something, and they're like, hey, I got this really cool new drug. It's called whatever. It's like a number or something. Is that that one?
That describes, like, half of all the Philip K. Dick books.
I got this awesome new drug. It makes you time travel.
I mean, that's, like, the plot of, like, half of the, like, yeah. I got this really cool drug. You should take it. And then he does, and then something really crazy
Something
happens.
Terrible happens.
That's, like, every book.
Yeah, that's
so
definitely a Scanner Darkly.
If that's, yeah, that's like a lot of his books. I don't remember if that's what happens.
I wasn't specific enough with the drug or what happens. Or...
Now Wait for Last Year has, he's like, the main character is like an antique collector, but he collects antiques from like the world before. So like the 1900s or something.
Okay, I definitely didn't read that one.
Yeah, his boss is like one of the guys that makes the drug or something, and he gets in like this big...
So is antique collecting just his hobby? He just like...
That's what he does for a career.
Okay.
Yeah.
He sells like antiques from another world.
Well, not another world, but like the previous century, but whatever.
That's a cool idea for a book.
And then his boss is obsessed with antiques, so he like travels back in time with the drug. I don't remember all the details, but it's just a fun, weird book. It gets really, really... I think the ending's really depressing, but I mean...
As with all of them.
That's usually how it works, right?
Yes.
Whatever. That's fine. It's fine.
I mean, actually, the end of Ubik was, even though it was really, really depressing, the bad guy did get what was coming to
him. That's true. So, I mean, it was kind of...
It was very depressing, but there was nice closure, retribution or something.
Yeah. I think it was, it had a nice, and like the ending was like, okay, you know, you felt, you know.
At the end of the book, I remember going, oh, shit, like.
I mean, I do that at the end of every book that's ever written, mostly.
No, but even like at the very last page, there was just a big bomb, and it was like, oh, God, yes.
I'm reading the Wikipedia page for Now Wait for Last Year. And I realize, like, there's all this shit that I didn't even, like, say. But that's fine.
Oh, well.
There's a lot of stuff, and I apparently don't remember any of it. But it's fine. It's a good book.
It's
so
good.
You should read it. Anyway, it's not that long. All right. Anyway, moving on from Philip K. Dick. We'll talk about him every episode, right? From now on, just, like, we'll have a...
Yeah, let's do a book club.
A sequence.
We'll reread his books, every single one of them.
I should reread Ubik. That's the one I really want to reread.
Okay. I would.
That's the one
I would
really
reread that book.
You know what I haven't? I'm trying to remember the one. There's a really famous one I haven't read, and I don't remember which one it is.
His really famous ones are: you've read The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Martian Time Slip, maybe.
No, I haven't read that one. That one's one of his early ones, right?
Yeah, it was.
Is that a good one?
It's not one of his better ones.
It was earlier in it.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's about his understanding of autism, which is wrong, but is really cool at the same time.
Fair enough.
Philip K. Dick invents a cure for autism in his book that I'm pretty sure he thinks would work in real life, but...
But it doesn't.
Yeah, and yes. His explanation for autism is really good and wrong and...
Really good, like, as really is in really bad?
As in, he put a lot of thought into it.
Good.
But it's just exactly not right. Exactly what... Anyway, yeah, that one, and then The Three Stigmata of Palmer Eldritch. That one's also, I think, pretty big.
I have not read that one. No.
That one's another existential horror, kind of.
That one sounds good.
It's very depressing.
I've heard good things about that one.
There was a story where he walked into his friend's house, and his friend was like, crying on the floor because holding a copy of that book going, why would you write this?
Oh god, that's sad.
It's really sad. The friend was probably on drugs. It was probably drug related crying, but still, it's a sad story.
That sounds sad.
Anyway,
you want to make a list super... in this episode? That was depressing. It's like his friend was crying on drugs.
Oh, and he was...
He died, and then everyone
died.
The universe exploded. That was the end of it. That's the end of every Philip K. Dick.
Yep.
Someone's crying in the street on drugs.
On drugs, and they die.
And then the universe dies.
Yes.
Well, their universe dies. Ooh.
No.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did.
Like his universe... His own...
Yes, I got it.
His own universe. All right, let's move on. You're like, yes, I know what you're talking about. His own inner universe.
Oh.
That was deep.
That was deep.
That was deep. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry I derailed your game.
It's okay. We have to make a list.
Okay, go on.
Let's
what are we listing?
All right, so I don't have a category yet, but we should... Decide
well,
on one.
I have a couple.
What do you have in mind?
We could do video games.
Yeah, we did a movie in episode
video
one.
Games.
Or not one
video
movie,
games.
But we did a list of action
movies.
We
did one movie.
No, just
we
one.
We did one movie that we listed 10 times. Yeah, that was good. The Matrix, The Matrix, The Matrix.
We just talked about The Matrix for an hour and 30 minutes.
It was, yeah.
You I should mean, go back yeah. and listen to it.
It was as long as the movie.
Yes.
You could watch the movie while instead of listening to us talk about it. That's fine. We could do video games. Video games.
Let's do it. I like games.
Say it like that. What do you want to do? Okay, so you've got the obvious ones that are like, okay, this is the best game ever. You know, that's kind of, I mean, that's been done.
Let's just do the best game ever.
The biscuits.
What the biscuit game ever. Game.
Biscuit. The biscuit game. Sounds like a good game.
I'd play it.
The biscuit game. You make biscuits.
What even is the... How do you define the best game ever? What does that even mean?
Ooh, I mean, that's a philosophical question.
Yes, it is.
I would define the best game ever as the game that you have had the most enjoyment with, but also holds up to critical consensus.
What's more important, your enjoyment or the critics?
Can I say that doesn't that definition I just said sound like something I wrote before this podcast?
Yes. It sounds like you have the answer to that.
That just came out of my head.
Yes. And the question I asked you was actually not prepared.
Yes, what's more important? That's a good question.
So what does it
mean? I would say they're like 50-50.
So it's...
Yeah. I think you have to consider both. You know.
You say the most enjoyment, but some of my favorite games I didn't have fun while playing, but you know what I mean? I still... think they're amazing games. Like, the emotions I felt were not fun when I played them.
I think I see what you mean. So you,
like, Silent Hill is not a fun game to play.
I mean, okay, I think I see what you're saying.
Yes.
What do you mean exactly? Like, you don't...
Well, a lot of games that I like playing make me feel scared or depressed.
You're not necessarily enjoying them.
Yes, but they're impacting me.
You admit that they're good.
Yes.
So you got like a Requiem for a Dream kind of situation going on right here. That's what you mean. Okay, I see what you mean. So like they're good, but you're not necessarily enjoying yourself.
Which sounds weird, but...
That doesn't sound like a good game to me, Ryan.
That sounds like a fun game to me.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. So it's like when you watch a movie, that's like not a fun movie to watch, but afterwards you're like, wow, that was really good.
Yes, it's very
okay. Well, I would still consider that good. I mean, I guess, you know, we can define enjoyment by like how much of an impact did it have on you, you know.
I think that's a good impact. I think all of these are good qualifiers for best game. Yeah. Enjoyment, impact,
like
critical.
If you like the either the best game you like, the most enjoyable gaming experience you had, or a gaming experience that was most impactful to you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So not necessarily it made you enjoy it, but it made you feel something.
Yes.
That other games don't, you know, make you feel, I guess you could say. So like Silent Hill is a good example.
And I think that maybe also has to do with how it makes other people feel. So the critical reception as well, because mm-hmm. I think you enjoy a game more when other people around you also have the same experience as you with the game.
Yeah, I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because I think people build expectations based on, you know, outward criticisms.
Yes.
So they're like, you know, they may enjoy something less or more based on what other people
have said about the game.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing because I feel like that's a lot of reason why people like old games better, like when they were, you know, younger.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pay attention to reviews and criticisms as much.
Yeah, I think that's...
So they just went in fresh and, you know, enjoyed...
Your mom bought you a copy of, you know...
Right, of whatever. And you're like, I don't know if this is good. And then you play it, and then you're like, oh, this is really good. And, you know, it's separated from the criticism of the day. Mm-hmm. And then when you grow up, you find out, like, oh, this is a really well-received game or whatever.
Or maybe it wasn't.
Like a good example is, like... You know, Ocarina of Time or something like that, or Final Fantasy VII, you know. Like, when I played those, I didn't know they were, like, highly, you know, received as, like, best games.
Yeah. But
now that I'm older, I see that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, it's almost like, you know, that improved my reception of them because I didn't have these lofty expectations going in, I guess. Something to consider. All right, but yeah, I mean, I think all those things we can define. So like, you gotta enjoyment, impact on you, and then you have to consider like, did other people like it?
Yeah.
Like you can't like you can pick a game, I guess, that you liked a lot, but no one else liked. But then I don't know if it would qualify as best game ever because no one else liked it but you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
As much as you liked that game, you know. That's my opinion.
So
let's go with that.
I think we do have to do best game ever now, since we've talked as much as we have about what the definition and philosophy and
We philosophized about it. We have philosophized.
So should we start at number one and work our way down?
Well, first off, how many should we... Should we do top five?
Yeah, five.
I think top five is good. Mm. Top ten is like really long.
Yeah, if we do top ten, we'll be here for 5 hours.
I think we should do... I think we should just throw out five, and then we can order them afterwards.
Okay.
Because then we don't have to think of, like, oh, is that one better than blah, blah, blah? Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so what? Let's throw out some...
All right, some ones that some maybe stuff. Just jump out at me
jump out
immediately.
Of your head. Yeah.
Chrono Trigger.
That's a good one.
StarCraft. StarCraft.
Now, these
Brood
don't
War.
All have to be in top five. We can, like, move... Like, we can be like, oh, StarCraft's not really five, but I'm writing it down.
Yeah. Let's think of genres. As far as first-person shooter goes, maybe Doom?
Doom, yeah, that's good. Doom's good.
Maybe...
Chrono Trigger's probably the best for RPGs. But there's a lot of other RPGs that are very good.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII comes to mind, but can you really have two RPGs on the top five list?
I think we should write them down. And
okay.
We can decide
so maybe Final Fantasy VII, Chrono Trigger, Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Me too. I agree. That's a very good game.
I mean, people still play that game competitively for hours and hours and
I've
hours.
I've watched it.
Yeah, it's for.
I watched Devo this year.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of people. I think they had more.
More than ever.
Well,
even.
Yeah, they had more. That's the biggest Melee in history. So I mean, the game's super strong after, you know, 10, 15 years, however long it's been out.
Yeah, people like that game.
It's a really good game. I would put one of the Metal Gears down. I don't know which one though.
Yeah, that's a tough
choice.
I
like the series a lot.
What about Metal Gear Solid? I kind of stopped playing them after 2.
My favorite's 3, but I think 2 and 1 are the... I don't know. I think for people that really like the series, 3 is their favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for people that just, like, you know, played the games and aren't super fans of the series, then, like, 2 or 1 are probably their favorites. So, I don't know. One of those. We can decide which one.
Yeah, put down 3 and 2.
Okay. What else? I'm trying to think of another... What about, like, fighting games, you know?
Fighting games?
Yeah, like Street Fighter, Soul Calibur, Tekken.
I think those are tricky, because...
I mean, we already have one. We have Smash Brothers.
It's not a necessarily a traditional fighter.
It's not a traditional fighter game, no. But, you know.
Well, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed Mortal Kombat on the Genesis. Right.
Was that really best game ever?
Was it really? Yeah.
I don't know about
it. I don't know if Mortal Kombat for the Sega Genesis is best game ever. What about platformers?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You gotta have a platformer.
We gotta have, like, Mario on there somewhere.
What is the best Mario game? That is a, like, list on its own.
That is, like, yeah, that is, like, another, like,
that's
two
the question,
hour
isn't it?
Podcast right there, right? Best Mario game?
Super Mario Bros. 3 for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
I think 3 is the most universally liked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone will disagree that that is really, really good.
Yeah.
I think people will say, oh, I like World better, or I like the first one better, or I like, I don't know, Galaxy better, or whatever, or 64 better, or whatever. I think, you know, people have different opinions of what's the best, but I think in general, 3 is the most agreed upon.
Yes.
That it's, like, really good by everyone. So, yeah, I would say 3.
Super Mario Brothers 3. Is Sonic top 5 games ever material?
Have you played Sonic lately? Like, again?
No, not lately.
If you go back and play Sonics, they're not that good.
I don't know. I have played Sonic 2 semi-recently.
Yeah,
okay. I still enjoy it, but that's...
We can put it down. We can put Sonic 2 down.
Yeah.
Or Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
No, I like Sonic 2 the best.
Sonic 2?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that is definitely the best Sonic game.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just asking if it's top 5. But I feel like, yeah, we'll put them all down and we'll call it later, you know?
Yeah.
What about Zelda? I mean, we have to have Zelda.
Right? I haven't played a whole bunch of the Zeldas.
Well, I mean, Ocarina of Time is generally considered the best Zelda.
Yes.
You know, yeah, universally. It's not my favorite, but I think...
What's your favorite Zelda game?
It's kind of a Super Mario 3 situation.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. My favorite Zelda game would be Wind Waker, probably.
Did not play it.
GameCube. Super good. But I think the best made one is Ocarina. It's just the most fun. Well, not fun. It's just the most, I don't know.
Probably the most high quality, innovative, too.
High quality one. I mean, if we're talking about innovative games, like games that innovated and games that are very influential, I think Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, and Doom are the three most influential games, probably of all time. Maybe I'd also consider, like, Tetris to be in there, too, but...
Yeah.
Those are, like... I mean, they defined whole genres.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of... But anyway, so I think we should put maybe Ocarina on there.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, universally loved.
Half-Life.
Good one. Huh. 1 or 2?
1, for sure.
I mean, I agree, but I was just making sure.
Yeah.
What about Metroid?
I was thinking about that next.
Which Metroid?
What do you pick? I think Super,
I like
Metroid.
Super,
yep.
And I like Metroid Prime, though. I like both of them.
I really like Metroid Prime, but, you know, Super Metroid... You have to... I mean, that was on the Super Nintendo.
I know it was on the Super Nintendo.
That's crazy.
I'm replaying that right now, and it's kind of... It's mind-boggling how ahead of its time
it
is. You know what I mean? It was made in, like, 1995 or something. Like And I'm playing that right now. I'm like, how did they do this back then? Like, I don't understand how they did it.
Yeah.
Like, the level design in that game is unreal. It's literally unreal. Like, I don't know how they planned the level design in that game. Because everything connects, and somehow it just, like, the map makes sense even after you, like, go back, you know, backtrack and, like, find a new, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it all makes sense somehow, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know how they did it. I really don't.
Speaking of Metroid, Castlevania, maybe?
Yes, which Castlevania?
Symphony of the Night. Probably.
Symphony of the Night. I never beat Symphony of the Night.
Neither did I. But I really liked it.
It gets kind of hard.
Yeah.
In the end. If you don't have the right equipment. If you have the right equipment, it's kind of a breeze.
If your name is not ROM Scout, it's a pretty hard game.
It's a hard game, period, yeah. I think. But, I mean, if you know the right items, you can do it really easily. But that's another thing. So, yeah, Symphony of the Night, probably good call. I'm trying to think of other... I can't think of a lot of other ones. I mean, I could say, like, Civ might be in there, one of the Civ games. I'm not a huge fan, but, like, I don't know, I could see that.
I think StarCraft is objectively better as a strategy game.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you there. Mario Kart. Now, see, that's not one of the best games ever, but probably one
I
of
really enjoyed it
ever.
A whole heck of a lot.
I mean, I love all of them. Those games are just so fun. Like, if we're talking about games, like, on a pure, like, this is the most fun I've ever had playing a video game. Like,
Mario Kart's
Mario
on there.
Kart probably is.
Maybe even Mario Party and Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis is really good.
Yeah.
I don't think we can objectively say Mario Party is a good game. I mean, it's a good game, but it's not like, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's not a good game.
I mean, it's a good game, but it's not like, wow, that look, that Mario Party, that should win an Oscar
that
for,
changed
for
my
video
life.
Games. You know, yeah. That should win an Oscar for video games. The Gosker. I don't know.
Gosker.
Yeah. I don't know. Mario Kart is one of those series that, like, I admit that it's probably not, like, best game ever material, but, like, from it, like I said, from a completely, like, fun factor.
Yeah.
It's, like, probably really, really high.
As far as a game being designed to give the most enjoyment possible.
Enjoyment,
and
yeah.
be very easy to get into, low entry level.
Low entry level and, like, instant fun. Like, Mario Kart is, like, way the hell up there on the top. You know, like, really, like, especially for, like, a multiplayer game. So. But I don't know if I'd consider it a top five best games ever.
Is there a MMORPG that deserves to be on this list?
See, if I was a big MMO guy, I would say, yeah, of course. But as a person that doesn't really play... I mean, I played Warcraft for a while. And I played Guild Wars for a little while. And I played, you know, a couple other ones in the late 90s, early 2000s for a while. But, like, none of them were like, oh my god, that game is amazing. It was like, oh, this is a good way to waste my time.
Also,
you know what I mean?
I mean, I agree with you, but I think a lot of the fun in online games is not necessarily the game, but the social interactions.
It's the community.
Yeah,
it's
the community.
Community
and social aspect.
Yeah,
and that's not a game.
It's not the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I think something can be said for, like, if this game fosters a good social community that you have a lot of fun with, then the game is good because it's doing that.
Yes.
But if you just took out the social component, like, would the game be as fun?
Or would the game be fun at all?
Yeah, at all. And then, like, yeah, you can get, like, maybe not. Like, Mario Kart is another good example. Like, it's not nearly as fun without people to play it with.
That's true.
But at the same time, like, when you're playing with someone in Mario Kart, you're not just enjoying the social interaction you're having with the person. You're legitimately enjoying the game experience.
It is the game.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you're having fun playing the game, and you're also having fun trash talking your opponent, you know, at the same time.
Yes.
Whereas, like, maybe in Warcraft, like, you're having the game is like the medium to have fun through social commentary, but, like, the game itself might not be, like, as fun.
It makes sense to me. I'm not much of an MMORPG person.
I think a lot of people would say, like, WoW is, like, up there for, like, their favorite games.
Yeah. But to that, I would say that this list takes into consideration our personal biases and enjoyments of games.
I'm going to write it down, and it'll be one of the first ones we cross off the list.
Yes, write it down.
When we call.
Write it down so that we can get rid of it.
So is there any other ones? Are there any other games that you want to, like, put on this? I can read you what we have.
Put on Silent Hill 2.
Well, that's a good. That's good.
Because survival horror.
What about Resident Evil?
It's a different kind of survival horror.
I know, I'm just saying, like, a lot of people consider Resident Evil very good.
It's not on my top 5 list.
It's not on mine either. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Like, Resident Evil is an interesting series because everyone has a different favorite.
Yes.
Like, there's not just like an, oh, everyone likes this one the best. Like, Silent Hill, everyone likes 2 the best.
Yeah.
You know, Final Fantasy, most people like 7, 6.
Unless you're me.
Unless you're you, like 8 the best, which is the worst one, but whatever. We can talk about it in a separate episode.
Speaking of that, put down 8.
No, I'm not putting. If we're putting down 8, I'm putting down 9.
Okay, all right, I'll take that.
Both down. I'm gonna cross that one out first.
Okay, fine.
Freaking 8, worst game I've ever played.
It's a good game.
I have a lot of good memories at 8 from 8, but not like good and like this game is fun. Like good and like this game is fucking weird, man. Anyway, so, I mean, Resident Evil is interesting because everyone has a different favorite.
Yeah, I liked 4 on the GameCube a whole bunch.
A lot of people, when 4 came out, most people considered, oh, this is the best one.
Yeah.
But as the years passed, you know, people, like, got nostalgic for the earlier ones. Yeah. Like, oh, the first one's the best, or 2's the best, or some weirdos think 3's the best with Nemesis. Some people think Code Veronica's the best, you know what I mean? So, like, everyone has a different favorite. So that would be a hard one to put down because I don't know which one we'd choose. Probably 4 because I think it's most critically acclaimed. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that down.
Yeah.
Resi 4. That's also my favorite Resi for sure. But, all right.
Did we miss any whole genres?
I feel like we missed some big thing, but I can't think.
Puzzle games?
I think Tetris deserves.
Yeah, Tetris needs to be on there.
I don't know if it'll make top 5, but Tetris needs to be. I mean, Tetris is just, I mean, it's the game.
Yeah.
You know,
gaming like wasn't an adult hobby, maybe, but all right, that's not right. But
I don't know if I would say that. I think Tetris made games into something more than just. I don't know. I think it's hard to explain. Tetris is just very influential.
Did you see the Tetris documentary?
I did not. No.
It's like a on Tetris and Russia and the people that made it and stuff. It's a real good documentary. You should see it.
I need to see that.
Yeah, it's super good.
Tetris is like the chess of video games.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It makes sense to me.
So, I mean, it deserves to be on.
It's in every generation of games in pretty much the same form as the original Tetris. And people still enjoy it.
Yeah, and its original form stands the test of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you don't go back and play Tetris and like, oh, this is a dated
game. This is my favorite Tetris.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't go back to the original Game Boy Tetris and you're like, oh, this game sucks, it's so old. Like, no, it's still fun because it's the same thing, mm-hmm. You know? Like, the base game is just really good. You know, it's one of those timeless games. Okay. And I mean, I guess you could say like Pac-Man, but like, I like Pac-Man a lot, but I don't think it's top 5.
Yeah.
But I think I respect Pac-Man a lot because I think it's very influential in the history of video games.
Other than that, I mean, there are games that I like a whole lot, but.
We'll just throw them out.
Ikaruga, I like a whole lot.
I don't think anyone would ever put that in a top 5 list. But let's put it down.
I wouldn't either, honestly.
Ikaruga.
But it's a game I keep coming back to.
Ikaruga.
I
like Ikaruga a lot.
There's only 6 levels and
yeah. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
What about like BioShock?
I liked the original BioShock. I think it has maybe the best intro in a video game ever.
I might agree with that. Actually, no, I don't agree with that. I think Metal Gear Solid 2 was the best intro in a game ever. But
yeah.
But I agree, BioShock has is really good. I'm just looking, you know, at popular video games.
What are some other lists saying? Did we miss any from any popular lists?
Dark Souls is popular on there.
I don't know about that.
I like Dark Souls a lot, but I wouldn't consider it top 5.
Yeah.
But there are people out there that would. I mean, there are some adamant fans of that series.
As there should be.
As there should be, and nothing wrong with that. I love the Dark Souls series. I don't know if I'd put it on top 5. But I think the people that love it a lot, like, they're fans, like, they love it, like, a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, really well loved by the people that like it. I think we're good. I don't know. I mean, the only ones we're missing are, like, stuff in a series that I would, like, put on over other ones. Like, we said Super Mario, like, 3, you know, like, I would argue, like, okay, I like Super Mario World better. I like 64, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, same with, like, Final Fantasy. Like, I know you like 8 better than 7, but, like, and I like 9 better than both of them. But, you know, some people like 6, but I think 7 is the most critically, you know,
I would agree that 7 is probably, I don't want to say objectively the best, but
I don't think it's objectively.
It's a real good one.
I think it's the most
influential, maybe too.
It's definitely the most influential.
The biggest impact on the series.
It's definitely the most influential.
Yeah.
Because it changed. It made RPGs a cool genre.
Yeah.
Before Final Fantasy VII, RPGs were like a nerd genre. I mean, and they were for a while after it, but like, it made people that didn't have any idea what an RPG was like RPGs. Like, it made me like RPGs. I didn't know what an RPG was before Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, a Western version of an RPG, like Dungeons and Dragons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what, like, a Japanese RPG was before Final Fantasy VII, so. And then, like, another one's, like, Metroid Prime. I like that really a lot, but, like, I can't put that on because Super Metroid's on there.
Yes.
Same with Zelda, and there's a lot of good Zeldas, but I think Ocarina deserves to be in there. And then, oh, here's a Fallout. What about Fallout?
Ooh, New Vegas was my favorite Fallout.
I agree.
I like it a whole bunch. I don't know if it's top 5. It might be top 10.
Yeah, I think it might be top 10. I'm going to put it down.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right, well, yeah, I mean, I think we're good.
Diablo 2?
Diablo 2, yeah, that deserves to be on there.
And not top 5, but...
I mean, I'll put it on the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we got enough.
All right, what do we have?
We have too many.
How many?
We have Chrono Trigger, StarCraft, Doom, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX... Super Smash, Metal Gear Solid, something, Super Mario 3, Sonic 2, Ocarina of Time, Half-Life, Ikaruga, Dark Souls, Super Mario 64, Tetris, Super Metroid, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Mario Kart, something, I cannot read my handwriting on this, and oh, World of Warcraft, Silent Hill 2, Resident Evil 4, and Fallout 3. A lot of things.
So which ones are the best ones?
Well, I'm going to eliminate some right off the bat.
Okay.
What are you going to eliminate? Why don't you eliminate?
I'll eliminate one of the ones I added, Ikaruga. I know it's not top 5 material.
It's like a cheating elimination. Like, you're not even, yeah, you're not even trying at that one. Here, let me...
Let's do a back and forth system. I'll eliminate one,
good.
You eliminate
that's
one.
Good.
All right, your turn.
That's good. I will eliminate... I'll eliminate World of Warcraft. That's another cheating elimination.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I'm allowed to do that.
What other one stuck out at me is definitely not top 5.
We should have put this in like a Google Doc instead of me writing it on a piece of paper.
It's fine.
That's how smart I am.
I have a really bad memory, and
I'll just write it down on the thing.
I don't think Mario Kart is on the top 5 best games of all time list.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Mario Kart, even though I love Mario Kart. So I'm eliminating Sonic 2. I know you like Sonic 2, but no,
it's okay.
No Sonic 2.
No Sonic 2 for me.
Are you seeing this list I'm typing out? Look at this. Look at this list.
Where are you typing?
In
the Google thing? Okay, one second. I had it.
You're screwing everything up.
I ruined it. It's dead. Okay, you'll have to link it to me. Thanks.
God damn it, you're screwing this whole podcast.
I am the
up.
Worst person.
Our listeners are tuning out right now because
we're losing viewers. I'm sorry.
We're hemorrhaging listeners, not viewers. We don't know.
Hemorrhaging. Sorry, Twitch.
You don't watch a podcast, you listen to it. I don't know what I want to eliminate.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Resi 4. You know Resi 4 means.
No, wait. No, you did Sonic. It's my turn.
Oh, I did Sonic, yeah.
I'm going to take yours. Oh, I'm eliminating Resident Evil.
There's the list.
Sorry.
You're eliminating Resident Evil?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just delete it from the list.
Okay.
Are you seeing the list?
Yeah,
are you viewing it now?
I see it now.
I'm going to eliminate... Ooh, I don't know what I want. This is tough. I'm going to eliminate Dark Souls.
Oh, you cheater.
I'm not a cheater. That's why I eliminated. You're a cheater. Should I have New Vegas instead of 3?
Yes,
I
definitely.
Mean, nope. I think people like 3 more than New Vegas. But not you and me, right? Not you and
New
me.
Vegas is the best one. I don't care
like
what anyone says. They're wrong.
I agree.
Symphony of the Night is going.
Yeah, good call. I can't believe I haven't eliminated Final Fantasy VIII yet. That was like the first one I should have. I said I was going to eliminate it first, and I didn't do it.
Oh, well, take that. I'm eliminating. I'm taking 9.
Damn it. You thought FF8 was going
to
slip through.
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't notice. I wasn't going to say anything.
And we'd get to the top 5, and I'd be like, how did Final Fantasy
VIII we would get to 6, and it would be my pick. And then
you'd like eliminate one of my favorite. You'd like eliminate Chrono Trigger over it or something. And then it would be in the top 5. And then we'd have like an awful list of like no Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VIII
with Squall.
The best game ever made. Okay, I'm gonna eliminate Diablo 2.
Okay. Alright, it's starting to get real.
Ooh, Metal Gear Solid 2. I spelled it wrong.
That's the Chinese knockoff version.
Are we agreeing that it's 2 or 3?
I will let you choose which one, since you're...
I think I like 3 better, and I think the fans of the series like it better, but I think 2 is the most well-received critically of all the games, if that makes sense.
I can respect that.
Because, like, when 2 came out, it was, like, a big event.
Yes.
You know, like, that was one of the biggest things in gaming.
We used to run around the grocery store pretending to be Snake, and...
I know, and like, do you remember the trailer for Metal Gear Solid 2?
Yes.
Like, that changed video games. Like, it was like, what is this? This is so crazy, you know, it looks so real.
There was real-life seeming footage in it. It was like, wait, is this real?
It was an insane game. Yes. And, like, people hate on it because of the protagonist change, but, like, if you take all that away, it's still a really good game.
Yes.
So. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Your turn.
I'm eliminating New Vegas.
New Vegas?
Yes.
I'm going to eliminate... This is going to be a contentious one. I'm going to eliminate Doom, though. Sorry, Ryan.
Ooh. I thought that one would make it.
I like Doom a lot, but I like all these games better than Doom.
I'm going to change Super Mario 64 to Super Mario Bros. 3.
Oh, sorry. That's okay. I forgot Super Mario Bros. 3.
All right. Now we're in... How many do we have left? We have 9. We have 9 left.
This is getting into like you're trouncing on sacred ground.
Yeah,
I'm. You know, like if you eliminate something that's like highly regarded, you're like, ooh, you know what I mean?
It's gonna hurt me to eliminate any of these games.
I know what you have to eliminate.
I know what I have to do.
I'm not gonna tell.
All right, I did it.
Because it's gonna hurt you.
Do you want to tell them?
You're eliminating Silent Hill.
Okay. Yeah.
And, like, the reason for that is because you have to. Because if you eliminate anything else, it'd be, like, blasphemy.
What am I going to do? Eliminate Chrono Trigger? Like...
you would have to do the same... It would even be worse if it was Final Fantasy VIII.
Though...
Like, you're eliminating, like, classic games to get Final Fantasy VIII in the top.
Though we do... we do have a couple dilemmas now.
Why?
So... I'm noticing that we have...
So, for everyone at home, we have Chrono Trigger, StarCraft... Final Fantasy VII, Super Smash Melee, Metal Gear Solid 2, Half-Life, Super Mario Bros. 3, and Super Metroid.
I wasn't intending to do this, but we have a game from a different genre for every single one. None of the games are the same genre.
Well, no, we have 2 RPGs.
I was leading to that. We have 2 RPGs, and they're both real good.
I see.
Do you have 2 out of 5 of the top games of all time be RPGs? I guess we'll find out.
I guess it's my decision to what to eliminate.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, this is going to be a contentious one, too. Because I can eliminate one that I think... Let me tell you my thought process. Here,
okay.
Right? Okay? I'm thinking the 2 that I'm potentially thinking to eliminate are Smash Melee and Half-Life. The problem with that is I like Melee more than Half-Life, but I think Half-Life is, like, more... better, like top 5 material.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Oh, how can you do that to either one of them?
I can't. Like, that's why it's really hard. Or I could eliminate Metal Gear Solid 2, but I really like Metal Gear Solid 2. Or I can eliminate Super Metroid and be the dick that eliminated Super
you
Metroid.
You can't eliminate Super Metroid. Or you could eliminate Mario.
No, I can't do that.
From the whole top 5.
I can't
5.
Kill Mario. Like we have to balance like our personal preference with like,
yeah.
You know, what's I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna kill Half-Life.
Ouch. Alright, bye
Half-Life.
Half-Life
is gone. I know, that's tough.
There's seven left. So the way it's going to happen is I'm going to eliminate one, then you're going to eliminate one, and then we'll have our list.
And then that'll be it.
So this is the last one I get to eliminate.
Yep. I know which one you're going to do. This is an easy one.
Is it?
Well, I mean, it's not easy, but like... Never mind. You do what you need to do, and I'll make commentary after you do it. I don't want to influence
your decision. Are you sure you know what I'm going to do?
I think I know what you're going to do.
Are you sure?
No. Do what you're going to do.
I think I might surprise you.
Okay, well then do it already.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. What are you eliminating? No! Damn you! You eliminate... So what did you eliminate? Tell me.
I eliminated Metal Gear Solid 2.
Which is awful elimination, but that's fine.
Was that what you were expecting?
No, I thought you were going to eliminate Chrono Trigger Final Fantasy 7. One of them. I didn't know which one. But you're letting
me taking it back.
Decision.
I'm taking it back. Wait, I just realized something. That. Fine. We have two Mario games and two RPGs.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
We have two Mario games, Melee and Smash Bros.
So? Wait, what do you mean Melee? What are you talking about?
Super Smash Bros. Melee is a Mario game.
It's a fighting game. Oh, we have Smash Bros. And Mario 3? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm thinking between those two now.
Why? They're very different games.
I don't think they can both be on there, though.
I don't understand how.
It's weird, yeah.
And I get they're both Nintendo games that have Mario in them, but, I mean, they play completely differently. I see what you mean. Do what you want. Do what you need to do. You can eliminate Metal Gear Solid 2. It's no hard feelings. I eliminated Final Fantasy 8. We're allowed to kill the other person's favorite games. We've already established
Final Fantasy 8 is not my favorite game.
Just go crazy. I don't care. You can eliminate...
I'm still thinking.
You already did.
It's a big decision. All right. Wait, no. I don't think I want to do it, though.
What do you mean? You were so adamant. Now you're not.
I wasn't adamant. I changed my mind. It's okay. All right, here. I'm going to eliminate Chrono Trigger.
No, you're not.
No, I'm
you're not.
Not
really.
I'm going to eliminate StarCraft.
No, you're not.
This is terrible. This is hurting me.
I'll yell at you. You do realize that, right?
No, I would never eliminate StarCraft.
Yeah, you were about to.
I know, I had it highlighted.
You were about to flush the game of our childhood down the toilet like that. You know? About to flush StarCraft away. You remember all the good times you had in StarCraft? You're about to throw it all in the trash.
Oh, man.
By deleting it.
What am I... Let's just have a top seven.
Just delete Metal Gear. It's fine.
I think it's a really good game though, and there's nothing else on this list that's anything like that.
Just eliminate it. Sorry. I won't hate you. Only a little.
I needed Half-Life or Metal Gear Solid 2. I needed.
Why?
There's nothing else like that on the list.
Oh, because they're shooting man games?
Yeah, a shooting man game. I mean, they're shooting neither of them game. Are shooting man games, but you know what
but,
I mean.
I mean, effectively,
yeah,
shooting.
We need a shooter.
We need a shooting game.
Shooting man game.
Shooting man's game.
Yes.
Metal Gear Solid 2, tactical shooting.
No, you got Metal Gear Solid 2 in fair and square. I can't eliminate it.
Why?
Because it's... You know what I mean.
What do you mean?
It needed to be either Half-Life or Metal Gear Solid 2. We needed a...
Do we, though?
I mean, I think so.
Well, then there's only one you can eliminate right now that makes sense.
Which one?
It's one of the RPGs.
Yeah, I know.
Because by that same logic, you are thinking
and I
you
am.
Can only have
and
one
I am.
RPG.
So
but
what's...
the problem with that is then you're going to screw me in the next thing because I have no idea what the fuck I'm going
to
eliminate.
All right, well, I'm going to have to eliminate an RPG... And all right, so what's the best RPG of all time? Is it Chrono Trigger or is it Final Fantasy VII?
Well, I mean, I know the answer to that, but I don't know if you do.
I do. I know which one I enjoyed more though.
Go with your heart. We're in top 10. You got to go with your heart on top 10. Yes. So you eliminated what?
Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. And so Chrono Trigger's now the top.
Chrono Trigger is the best RPG ever made.
I think Chrono Trigger is objectively the better.
So do I, but I did enjoy playing Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. More. I did too. But, like I said, you got to consider all these factors.
Yeah, when you consider all the factors, Chrono Trigger is better.
Now you completely screwed.
Yeah, you're
because I have no idea. Like,
you're
I have
totally
Chrono Trigger, StarCraft, Smash Brothers Melee, Metal Gear Solid 2, Super Mario Bros. 3, and Super Metroid. Like, this isn't unfair.
Can I tell you what you can't? I'll give you two that you're not allowed to touch.
Yes, tell me.
StarCraft and Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
You're not allowed to touch those. Any other one you can do.
So I think, like, logically, there's an obvious one that I should eliminate.
Yeah.
It's Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
But in my heart of hearts,
can you really eliminate Super Smash?
That's not
Brothers?
What I want to eliminate. In my heart of hearts, I would rather eliminate Super Mario Brothers or Super Metroid.
Yeah, they're
but Super Mario Brothers and Super Metroid are like generally agreed upon to be like two of the best games ever.
Mm-hmm. What did I mean? And what did we personally play more of, Mario games or Melee? I think. Pretty much everyone that plays Nintendo games has played more Melee than any Mario game, probably, right?
I mean, I don't know if I would agree.
I
would agree that maybe you play more Melee than you do a single Mario game, yeah. Because, I mean, you play it for, like, ever.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely had more playtime on Super Smash Bros. Melee than I have in Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, same. You
know. But
maybe
if we combine every Mario game, I don't know. That's a tough call. You know what I mean?
I think it might still be higher on Melee.
You see what I mean?
I do.
Right? Oh, man, this is tough. Okay.
We can't have three Nintendo games.
Yes, we can. Nintendo is, like, my favorite developer.
But
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not that we can't have three. It's that we don't have room for three.
Yes.
it's that if we have three, then we sacrifice other things that are obviously, you know, really good.
I see what you're about to do.
I'm going to do it. Ah, I did it!
Oh, no.
I can't believe I did that. I should have eliminated Metal Gear Solid 2, but I can't do that because that's, like, one of my favorite games.
Yeah, and we
but
need...
I eliminated...
It needed to be there.
I eliminated Super Mario Bros. 3.
You killed Mario from the top five.
This is a really interesting list.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's, like, some of them are, like, obviously the best games ever. Like, Chrono Trigger, Super Metroid, like... You know, very much agreed upon that, like, really good, you know, top five, top ten material games. But then there's some more interesting picks, like StarCraft, probably on a lot of people's top ten, but it's a little more of a dark horse pick.
Yes.
But then Smash Melee is, like, out of left field, like,
yes.
You know, top five material. And I think a lot of people do like Metal Gear Solid 2 a lot, but I don't know if that's on a lot of top ten lists either.
I personally probably would have picked Half-Life over Metal Gear Solid 2, but you eliminated Half-Life.
Too late.
So, good pick.
Okay.
I did really like Metal Gear Solid 2, though.
So, why don't you read the final thing? Final count.
The final list is Chrono Trigger, StarCraft, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Metal Gear Solid 2, and Super Metroid. Now we have to order them.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, StarCraft, we're just assuming this is Brood War, right?
Yeah. When
I mean, Brood War contains the original, too. It's, like, part
yeah.
of the thing. So now we have to order this list somehow.
Do you want to go from bottom to top or top to bottom, or...
I want to do five first. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. I will start, since you ended the last one.
All right, let's do it.
Number 5 is Melee.
Number 4 is Metal Gear Solid 2.
And this is when it gets tricky. Personal preference is going to play a big part in
what I'm
just about
do
to
it.
Do.
Just do it. I know what you're going to do. Just do it.
You know what
it's
I'm going
to
do.
It's not blasphemy. Just do it.
Do you know
just
which one?
It. Yes, I know which one you're doing. Just
do you
it.
Know which one?
Yes, I think I do. Just do it.
I don't know which one.
Do it now.
Do it now. Okay. I'm doing it to...
Just do it. Do it now. Do it now. Go. Do it.
Super Metroid is number 3.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to do. All right, well, this is easy. StarCraft is 2.
Chrono Trigger is the best game ever made.
I think that is a really good list, actually, now that we look at it. What is going on with this thing? Whatever. Just be weird. Yeah, I think, I mean, yes, this is what I, this is, why is, wait, this is ordered poorly. We need to redo this.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine.
I'll fix it. Ah.
There. Okay. So this has been a very long episode.
That's okay. And then six, I'm gonna put down
Super Mario Brothers 3.
It's number six. See, there we go. There. Well, we did it's it saved. Somehow.
So, number one best game ever made is Chrono Trigger. Mm-hmm. Second best game ever made is StarCraft Brood War.
It's a very interesting pick.
Number three best game ever made is Super Metroid. Number four best game ever made is Metal Gear Solid 2. And the last one, number five, is Super Smash Bros. Melee.
This was really hard.
I think it's a pretty good list, though.
You know, I will say that the number one, I think, is a really good. Like, I don't know how we got there, but that was a good pick.
Yeah, one is fine.
Chrono Trigger, it might be objectively the best game ever made.
And thinking of it this way, the list would be a lot different if Final Fantasy VII was at the top. Oh, I'm glad it's Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII
isn't the best game ever made.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we played Chrono Trigger for the first time?
Yeah.
We played it for like 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
I think it was more than that.
We thought we were going to beat it.
In one sitting. We almost did. Because it's only like a 20-something hour game. We got like halfway through.
Yeah.
In one sitting. Good game, man.
We liked all the characters. We liked Frog a lot.
Frog is the best. Everybody knows that. Magus.
Yeah, we did get Magus in our first playthrough because we looked up how to get him.
Shh, don't say
I'm
that.
Not, I'm sorry.
We figured it out on our own.
All by ourselves on our first playthrough.
And we revived Chrono on our own without any help from the internet and all that stuff. And got the best ending. Yes, yes, yes. Wow, this is a good. This is a really good list. I'm proud of us.
I'm happy with the list.
Chrono Trigger number one. I'm surprised StarCraft got to number two, but you know.
I'm not.
I mean, I'm not surprised, yeah. But like, I think for us it's not surprising, but for like best game of all time, it's not.
It's a surprising choice.
Yeah, I'm surprised Super Smash Bros. Melee made top five too.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
I'm happy about it. Same. But I'm surprised. It's a good game. Okay, well, there you have it, folks. Those are our favorite games of all time.
And objectively, the best games of all time.
And objectively, because two people just did it, and when two people do something, it's obviously objective truth.
So. Yeah, especially when these two people do it.
Yes, when we do it, it's just, that's the gospel.
You just...
The word is gospel.
You can't argue with it.
Nope, you really can't. All right, well, that concludes the game of the week. Any closing remarks that you want to say?
Who won?
I think you won this one.
I think I did win.
I think you won because you killed really good games.
Yes.
And you had the balls to destroy.
I took Final Fantasy VII off of the top games of all time
list. You did. You did it. You did that somehow. And you took a lot of other... You killed a lot of other games in the process, you know.
Okay, so we have our winner. We have our list.
Yeah, it's you.
I think it's time to wrap up the show. Is there any closing thoughts?
What's the score right now?
The score? It's like, you know, 3-5. 98 plus
300. 98 to 53, I think, is the score.
I guess now it's 98 to 54.
Oh, 98. That's right. So you're still behind quite a bit, but you know, it's okay.
Oh, well.
You'll catch up one of these days. Next episode, probably.
Next episode.
All right, folks. Thank you for watching episode 3 of Doing It Live. I'm Time
Anderson. I'm Bat Snacks. See you.
Tune in next time. We'll talk about some other random shit, and it'll be good.
All right. See you guys later.
Bye.